bringing the people of all these communities together. You know, there's stories about that. I mean, guys that used to cheer for Farley St. Joe's, all at once they were in our district, and then they were in our sidelines. Yeah. You know, that thing. And I guess the toughest was the working with the private schools. They were having a time, difficult time with financing and staffing and change. And you remember, we were undoing 100 years of schooling in Dubuque County that was changing.
Shared time was a big word, wasn't it?
Right. It was a big worry, and it went through a process. Shared time actually may have saved some of the private schools. It got them through a period where they were adjusting slowly and come out of it strong. But shared time was give them the leverage there in order to do that. Other accomplishments. I will always say I thought I had one of the strongest faculties.
I was going to say that.
Anybody. I've often accused of being too inbred when hiring locally, but I defended that because I got to know some of these people. They were good supporters. They were good people. Why not hiring some of their kids and their people? And basically, I never was sorry about that. I think we built from strength on that.
Well, then they lived in the district too.
Right.
Well, a lot of them did.
Sure
some
did.
Didn't, but that was helping their kids to go to our school.
And then I guess going back, I guess working with the private schools after they settled in, it was I never considered anybody an enemy. I loved to beat Beckman in basketball, but that didn't make me an enemy. You know, we tried to work together to understand each other's problems, and that was it.
I remember Buck kind of set the tone. Of course, I was, I was one of his teachers for coaches, and then I worked with him a lot. But I heard him say it 100 times, and I'm sure you believe the same one. But he always talked about how important activities were.
Yeah.
That was like the frosting on the cake, he always said. I mean, he knew the academics and all that was important. But for a lot of our kids in our district, especially in those early years, those activities were really important because we weren't getting the cream of the crop to start with some of our students academically.
No.
Yeah.
And
another thing,
that was a good foundation, all the good activities we had. I remember you coached golf there, right?
That's
the superintendent. We started out at the high school bucking out with only
that.
Two coaches. Well, I was there. Buck
thing,
and I were the only two.
Buck and I always talked about, we won't mention names here, but in those transferring years, it was quite a number of kids from the private high schools, for one reason or other,
they showed up.
Wound up in our place. And I used to sit in on those interviews with the parents. And Buck would be, he'd say, "We want you. We're going to treat you fine. We're going to forget where you come from. You're going to start new. And by God, you're going to behave." And he made that clear. And he stuck it to them, And we often talked about that. Never had a problem with anyone.
Yeah, that was
not one.
That was an amazing thing because I remember I was there for a lot of that.
Yep.
And kids were more or less getting kicked out or had a lot of troubles in
regular
school, and they would just mold into our school and never had another problem.
Never.
And I mean, Jerry Walvis, I don't want to name names, but I remember Jerry Walvis told me later he had gone to 4 different high schools. He had gone to Jefferson or Washington Junior High as a 9th grader and St. Joe's and I remember he was a great citizen later, and he was on that first basketball team with Buck. And in fact, that first basketball team that Buck coached, I felt really bad. I was a sophomore coach. But I never played a home game till about January 20th. No. And when the glass bank boards were delivered, and that was the last thing we needed, one of them was smashed to small crap. And so that delayed it a little more. And he had the five starters on that team had all come from different high schools the year before. We had one from Piazza, one from Epworth, Cascade, New Vienna, Xavier, and it took, you know, we're practicing in that little cracker box at Epworth the old band room at Farley, which wasn't the greatest practice facility, but yeah, they were just starting to pull together at the end of the year.
You know, another accomplishment that directly isn't school issue, but I was always very happy with the business end of the district. And a lot of that was Dave Wegman. But, you know, we were kind of pioneers in some of the early payrolls, bringing in the computer age. Dave was always way ahead of me, and I'm an idiot on that stuff. But, you know, it was great when we had people like, I remember Cedar Rapids and Waterloo school districts coming over to look at our business department to see how we were doing it. Well, that tells you something. I mean, we had a good reputation of running a good, tight ship. We never had an audit that turned out bad. We never had any money missing or anything at all. That speaks for itself.
Sure. Over 60 years, no scandals or no problem.
No.
What? I don't want to talk too much, but it's kind of funny you bring that up. I was at the reunion Saturday night, 50 years, and the Groton High girl, I think it was Audrey.
Yeah.
And had her
she
history.
There?
Yeah, she was there. And she told me the story how, you know, of course, her dad was the first school board treasurer. And I don't know if it's true or not. She said that he rode the train into Chicago with
$3 million worth of negotiable bonds in a suitcase.
Yeah, that's what she said.
That's the truth.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the damn truth. Stan Groton Ice, and they were negotiable. Once they were signed, they were just like dollar bills, you know. And not only that, we had two big suitcases full of them. And we got off. We got a cab and went downtown to the bank, carried the dang things into the bank.
In Chicago, huh? That's what she said. They told us.
Why did you have to go to Chicago with
I don't know. That's where probably the bonds came from. They may have issued them. But anyway, we did. We took a train.
Well, probably none of the local banks could handle $3.2 million.
That young lady, another story, the band played at the Speedway, over
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, and they marched over there, and the Groton High girl fainted in there, and I wound up taking her to the hospital. Stan was a good egg.
Yeah, he just passed away last year, she said. And,
she still owns that bank in New Vienna.
Does she? Well, she says she lives in Monticello, and she has something to do with the Monticello. She married
the
guy.
Well, she's got banks all over, I think.
Yeah, well, I know he did well.
Yeah.
She worked with him, she said, yeah.
Well, speaking of the New Vienna Bank, Bob McCabe. Anyway, one year, Bob would have been, I think, a senior at West Dubuque, and Jim McCarthy and I were friends, and we were practicing to start the season. And I think it was a Friday evening. We both had practice. We were both not married. And we agreed that after practice, we were going to go into Dubuque and have a good time. And so we both had practice, and I went over, picked him up, and we drove into Dubuque. We decided to go to East Dubuque. And so we go to East Dubuque, and we decide to go to this particular bar. And so we walk in. It's a real narrow bar, and at the mid part, there's a jukebox, so you can't see past it. So anyway, so we walk that way, and we just get to the jukebox, and the next table we noticed that sitting there is Bob McCabe and Ricky McDonald.
And who?
Bob McCabe and Ricky McDonald. They had beaten us from Epworth after practice.
They were on the West Dubuque basketball team with Jim McCarthy.
And Jim says, what are you doing here?
So, they asked you what you were doing there?
I don't remember the consequences, but
that's kind of like the story of those kids that came in. Maybe he had problems somewhere else. He ends up being the president of the school board.
Yes, I know. And the other story that I love is that Wick was coaching the boys' team, and I was coaching the St. Joe's team. And so we were playing at St. Joe's. It was a cold January evening, and so we played the game. Varsity game's going on. It's in the second half, fourth quarter. And all of a sudden there's a timeout, and Father Dan Kepler walks in from the hallway, and he walks right past my bench, and he goes over to Wick, and I find this out afterwards. He got a phone call. And the phone call, there had been a fire at Wick's house. And so he goes over and tells Tom that there's a fire at your house. And
he did say my kids were safe.
Yeah, he said. So Tom looks up at the scoreboard and it's tied. And he said, he says, hey, Hermie, would you go check that out?
He got Brenda out of the stands, and they drove over the... They expected to come over the hill, they expected to see flames going up. Well, it wasn't that bad, but it did make the front page of the Telegraph Herald the next day because the babysitter saved the coach's kids.
One more comment I'd have to on the things. I was very lucky as a superintendent to have the boards I did. I won't get into names because that'd be a mistake, but basically, all the years I was there, basically, they would say, if something was wrong, they would call me and say, Wayne, you got a problem here, why don't you go work on it? And let me know how it come out. And instead of doing it or micromanaging, doing anything, they gave me a chance to work with it. And any superintendent that ever was would know that's really a godsend to be able to do that. And, yeah. That's great people.
Did you kind of nurture them or train them when they come on so that they realized that they didn't have to worry about every little phone call? Or
Yeah, and the other thing that I did that probably I know they don't do anymore, I talk to them all the time on the telephone. God, I spend hours in there. And I would go out and sit and talk to Deutmeyer, Bud, or whoever it was. I'd go to their house and they'd have coffee and we'd have a visit and do, and they knew what was going on and there was not any surprises. And then another thing I want to mention, I had real good relationships with the Dyersville and Cascade Press. And they would come in at 1:30 on Monday afternoons. All the time we had press release. We'd come in and there would be on the record and off the record, and they never dealt me a bad blow.
Maury Noonan
and Johnny
Sullivan, yeah.
John Sullivan, and I was up front with them. At times I would tell them things that weren't really released yet, and they wouldn't let it go. But they'd like to know. Don't surprise me. They'd say, no, don't just tell. Keep me informed. And I had a great relationship. The Telegraph was a little flakier, you know, a different paper. And I had a young lady come out one day, and she called me and said she wanted to talk about buses or something. Got out there, and then she got talking about shared time or something. And I just got up and left. She never came back.
Well, you're dealing with the boards. You're superintendent, what, 31 years or something like that?
32.
32.
37 altogether.
What, obviously you had to be pretty good at working with boards. I'm just trying to think, was there any superintendents of larger districts that ever stayed that long?
No, probably not.
I believe that. I mean, probably little districts.
Yeah.
Maybe had the same guy for a long time.
I thought of leaving a couple times during the shared time thing. I was pretty disgusted. I had opportunities.
With all the poor.
I come very close to taking the job at NICC.
Did it? That been in the 80s or so?
Mm-hmm.
70s.
Yeah, I could have had that if I wanted it, I guess. But we often talked about that, Mary and I. We just, why change? It was a good place. The kids all went to school here, and a nice, safe community. And
well, your legacy with West Dubuque is,
you know, that goes back.
Unreached.
Another thing, yeah. Buck and I decided that at one of them Saturday mornings. I said, you know, we can't. I was living in Epworth at the time. And I said, you know, we really got to spread out. I want my administration to move around to different places. Mm-hmm. I'll take Darrisville and you take Epworth, and we got different places. And we're going to be a presence in all of these places. Let's get out and let them know we're here. And I think that worked out all right.
Well, I was going to ask you a question why I ended up in Darrisville, and that's probably the answer there.
Well, you know, I never ducked them. I mean, if they had a question, or I went to their darn meetings and Lions clubs and every places, we were here. And I think it was a good idea. You know, it didn't want us to be all those guys from Epworth. Well, we're everywhere. A lot of my teachers lived in Darrisville areas. And that was good.
Well, if you will, I suppose you're looking back on it, if you and Buck or the major people were all in Epworth,
yeah,
it wouldn't look as good.
No,
and it wouldn't
that's
be
kind of what we thought, and so we did.
Yeah.
But we made some mistakes too, I suppose. But all in all, I really feel that Western Dubuque is a good thing now. It's
solid.
It's a solid school district. Academics, athletics, we do pretty good now. We finally got some nice buildings. Yeah. That was a big draw. You know, we were, my God, I had rooms in every kind of Piasta, Pleasant Grove and St. Mary's of Cascade and all over Darrisville.
Morning.
I rented rooms in New Vienna, Petersburg. Right? When we had them reading programs, I was renting rooms everywhere. But anyway.
Those were tough years. Well, you... I took a picture to the reunion the other night, and we talked a little bit on the phone about the. It was probably one of the earlier wins, I know, that were kind of significant. I was coaching, so I'm prejudiced, but.
I was there.
We lost a 30-point game to Dyersville Xavier.
Xavier.
My first year as head coach, and we were at home, and we went over there, and our kids just played great, and they had some great athletes on the Xavier team, and we ended up winning a 1-point game. What happened afterwards?
Well, I walked up past Father Machen. He was an assistant there. I said, "Nice game, Father. You guys played good." He did. Walked right by me. Wouldn't even. I got a athletic story too. That first year we had football, we had Beckman beat us 80 something to nothing, and I think the second year was 85-6 or something like that. And my guys were on it, Henry Waxter and that bunch. They were there. And that third year, this Schramm kid, Paul's boy, was a pretty good player. He was a quarterback. Boy, they went after him. They got him. He only lasted two quarters. he was in the hospital or something. But, It was tough going. We come through some hard wars there to get up to where we are now.
Did you think we beat them that year?
Yes, we beat them. Like
when Henry Waxter was a senior and Doug was a senior, yeah, I think Carl Hartman might.
They had a real good team, and I think we won 6-0 or 7-0 or something. It was a real low score, but they didn't get nothing. They nailed him.
Well, I know Buck had, I was assistant baseball, but Buck had some very good baseball teams. And we battled the Dubuque schools pretty good. And lost like 1-0 to Wallert, and they had Bill Bergbach pitching. Marmack, we lost 1-0 to them. They had a kid that ended up playing professional baseball. And
he had a great baseball team one of those early years. They were pretty good. And one day he had, I don't know what the conflict, but he had to be someplace. He said, "You want to coach the team today?" So I did. And we played Wallert in Epworth. And by God, we were ahead going into the 9th inning, 2-1 or something like that. And the kid walked out there and walked 4 guys in a row and got beat. And Buck never forgave me.
Oh, yeah. He loved to win. He was a very competitive coach and principal. Yeah, I remember one of the fellows who ended up, he was very active in the city of Epworth and fire chief, and actually ended up down in Des Moines in the legislature. And he had to have a little reputation from where he was in high school in Dubuque. And Buck had heard that. And Buck met him at the front door when he transferred to our school and introduced him to the rules of Western Dubuque High School. And he never had any troubles after that. But he wouldn't... he might push you up against the locker and explain to you what's so on.
Yeah, something like that. He didn't want to mess with him, but he was a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Just a wonderful fellow.
I mean, they still love him. I didn't realize that he was in competition as a superintendent, but I could see how the Epworth people would have pushed for that real hard.
Really?
Because they loved
hard.
Him.
Yeah.
And frankly, I didn't have a lot of going for me. I never had a school district in my life before. County was a different situation altogether.
And he technically was a superintendent too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, Jeff, going back to the Dubuque County schools, I mean, you went out every so often to these schools and checked in and...
Oh, I could tell stories about that. I got lost half the time. One year I was in a school somewhere way down in Jackson County. I had schools all around there, and I went into this school and I went through the process and had them read for me and do this and that. And then the lady said, "Well, thank you for coming, but this isn't one of your schools. This is Jackson."
She let you read to the kids, huh?
I went to a one-room school.
Did you? Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I had such a great time with it, and I learned well, I think. And when I got to eighth grade, I was the only kid in eighth grade. Well,
Mary taught in them, so she was in... We knew that, and I knew old Joe Flynn, and the big issue was when I got the job, they said, "He's in like Flynn."
Well, did you meet Mary? Is that how you met her?
No.
Oh, you knew her before that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I'm sure you knew that was a big advantage when it came to hiring staff, you know, which ones were good and which ones... Or marginal in the one-room schools.
The issue with them, 19, I think it was, we kind of set a little higher standard than they had. In those days, you could teach an elementary school. You went to summer school.
Yeah.
You could literally. And I remember the first thing I did is I set no less than 2 years of college. And that knocked a whole bunch of them out. And then we moved it up, of course, to 1 to a year, and then master's now, probably PhD pretty soon. Yeah. I don't know. But,
yeah, my mother was a one room school. That was way back. But then, my mother-in-law was a 1 year, and she just went, like you said, to the summer. I think even Geraldine McCarthy and some of them, they just, they'd get out of high school and they'd just go to U of Dubuque or something, take two courses, and they were certified teacher.
Well, a big, I remember the big event of the each year to me seemed to be in the spring. The board of directors of our school, they would come and they would build the new area for the toilets, and they
were they indoor?
Oh, no,
hell no, they're
outdoors.
They have to move them over.
Oh, they moved them over here.
The smell got much better at when
I never knew that.
Those details, yeah.
And were all of those at outdoor?
Mary actually used to, she tells about it. She rode a horse to school during the bad weather. She'd get on an old pony and ride it down to teach school. Yeah, things have really changed. God, boy, we come through a massive change of everything. All good, I guess. But, you know, there was a lot of good in them old one-room schools, too.
I remember there was.
The Christmas parties.
Yeah.
And they'd bring the food, and they'd love each other, and they'd laugh, and they'd tell jokes, and they'd have little plays. And
yep.
It was great. It wasn't all bad. I remember I won't tell you the name, but there's this lady from down near Bernard, and she went to the school one day, and there was nobody there. But the doors were open, desks were all there. I wonder where in the hell they were. And here, there was a little creek running down there. And I looked out, and here they were all down in the creek. And here's the teacher. She's on the bank, with her feet in the water.
Yeah.
Well, part of the study.
That was part of outdoor ed before its time. Anything else you could think of you'd like to share, Wayne? Yeah. We covered a lot of territory. It's been great.
I don't know.
Any bus driver stories or?
No, basically a good year. I never regretted a thing that did good years. Or it was. I'm glad I was there.
Well, you know, I worked as a principal for a long time, but I was always amazed at and impressed how well our bus drivers did and the tough job they had. Important that was in our district. I mean, and the safety record. I mean, we never had a kid seriously injured or hurt in all those years. I mean, it's incredible with the number of bus routes and
You know, that is was the hardest thing that I had to do, and I always. I had to work real hard to get the radio system in. Remember Joe was against it and this and that. And I got a grant for $50,000 or something to get it started, got the tower up and everything. That changed everything. But even after that, to the last day I worked there, when it was a bad day, I'd stay in my office until I'd check them all off as they counted, come in. Number 40 in is in, and I always wanted to make sure they're all in before I could feel comfortable. It really is put 3,000 kids out on wheels and drive around the world a couple times in a week.
And a lot of our roads were not paved, and they were hills and rivers.
Do you remember April 8th of 1973 was a Sunday? My daughter was baptized, and we were out at my in-laws, and we barely made it back to Sparley. That was when that huge blizzard hit.
We
didn't have school till
That whole week.
That whole week, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, Jim O'Mara was living on that place right up down our street there. And Jim come down to tell me that I was sleeping in. You know what the damn kids did? They threw the snow all up so I couldn't see out.
In your house?
Or? Yeah. And so that was the, we canceled it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the story. You know, we would come into work if we could get there, but the county roads were just horrible, and the drifts were 8-10 feet high in some places, even on old 20. So we had called out school one or two or three days, and so Gary Les was transportation, and I was there, and probably Wiggy and Wayne, and so we thought, oh, it can't really be that bad out there. So we went for a drive after we had
I was on it.
Were you there with us?
Yeah.
Remember on old 20? We come around the corner, get stuck in this huge drift between Hepworth and Piasta.
Closer to Piasta.
Yeah, I know exactly the spot. And then, so we get out, we're going to try to push out, and I hear this milk truck coming around the corner, going about 60 miles an hour right towards us.
Oh, God, yeah. That was my car.
Was it?
Yes.
So we canceled the next 2 days after that.
You know, that in itself was we didn't talk about, but the transportation thing. I didn't have any help. I had a guy that at the U.S. Weather station at the airport that I could talk to a little bit. But that's the only source I had. Joe Link, you know Joe?
Yeah.
Joe Link was in Dubuque, and we had a deal where between 4 and 5 every morning was in question. We talked. We made a decision by 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a system whereby I had sent 6 bus drivers in different parts of the school district. And once we had the radios, we were in better shape then. And then we could, before that, they had to get out of their buses and call in on a radio or on a telephone or something. But once we got that, then we had pretty good control. You know, it could be a blizzard in Bernard and sunshine and in Holy Cross.
Yeah.
Christ, it could.
Yeah, it did, yeah. I remember that.
So
that was a difficult decision.
We always got by pretty good, and never had a few buses. We had one lady bus driver drive it in the ditch every damn time she'd get in there. But
well, I remember you talking about dates, Bob. January 20th, let's see, would have been 1997. Our band, it would have been the first, when Clinton got inaugurated, it was in 93, I guess.
93, yeah.
And our band was in Washington, D.C.
That was bad.
And we got that ice. It was, and the buses were just taking off. I think we were leaving them out early. But the buses couldn't move 20 feet. It was just a sheet of ice. I thought we were going to get stuck with kids.
We did for a while.
Yeah. But we did get them home that night. But, you know, like Atlanta last year, they had kids hung up everywhere. But in all those years, I think you guys did a great job calling.
Are you still
those calls?
I want to